Thursday, 7 April, 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Sure glad you tuned into the Calvary Hour today. I trust the scripture will be a great blessing to your heart and life. It is and to mine. I believe it's so up to date. Father, do bless us now with thy precious word, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you say, preacher, scripture is always up to date, and you know what I'm talking about. It's so applicable to the present conditions that we're living in. Dear friend, God has a complete library here, 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, and I'll assure you this, he has the answer to every need that we have in our life. That answer can be found in God's precious word. It's his living book. And there are certain portions that apply to certain situations. And that's where we are now. Over in the book of Revelation chapter 3, as the Lord writes to the church of the brethren over there, the church at Philadelphia, he commends them that they had not denied his word and they had not denied their faith. And dear friend, that's what I want God to be able to say about me. I want to be faithful and I want to be true to him. I'd sure like to have that commendation, and I feel like many of you would as well. Well, this has brought us over now to 1 Peter chapter 4, where in verse 12 we're told to not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is going to try us. However, when we get down to verse 17, we'll see that God's judgment will begin at the house of God. It's interesting that God's judgment will certainly affect the unsaved world, but also he starts with his people. And speaking about starting with his people, we see this, do we not, in chapter 4 and beginning in verse 1. For as much then, and let's pray, Father, do bless us now with thy word in Jesus' name. Amen. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Here's a tremendous truth. Here's a tremendous challenge. He said, now Christ has suffered in the flesh. You're going to suffer in the flesh. So arm yourself likewise with the same mind. Get prepared for this. Don't think it's a strange thing. He says in verse 17, it's not strange. He said, now you arm yourself with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. There's something about us, that I know it is my own makeup, that once I start suffering for something, dear friend, the whole situation changes. You know how quickly life can change? You know, we can be pursuing a whole lot of things in life. Some of them may be good and some of them may not be good. And then we get some kind of tragic news. It might be that we have been diagnosed with some terminal disease. It might be that one of our loved ones is extremely sick. It might be that somebody dear to us has died. It may be that our country is in some type of extreme trouble. And all of a sudden, all these things that we have been chasing, all these dreams that we have been pursuing, are no longer applicable. We don't really care about them. They have gone from the forefront of our lives down to the bottom, at least maybe even out completely out of our desires, because now we're focused on that which is truly important, on that which is absolutely necessary. He said, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Just as I was speaking to you about that, the Lord reminded me of an illustration that I ran across in the hospital many years ago. I was talking to a man, a nice man. He's a real successful businessman in this community, and he had developed some type of serious physical condition. I'll not go into all of that, but it had put him on his back. I mean, this man just went all the time. He was too busy to do this, that, and the other. But and then God put him on his back. And he said something to me that really touched my heart, and I just remembered it just a while ago. He said, preacher, when I was going home from the hospital, he said, for the first time, I noticed the flowers around my doorsteps. And he said, I stopped and I looked at them and appreciated what I saw. He said, I never had time to look at them before. I was always just in a rush. Now, you might think, well, that's a little silly illustration, but it presents a real truth. Sometimes we have to enter into a period of suffering before we begin to appreciate what we've got. How many times have we taken our jobs for granted? How many times have we taken our families for granted? Men take their wives for granted and take their children for granted as if they're going to always be there. And then something comes up in our lives that changes all of that. And then we begin to realize, oh my sakes, how fortunate I am to have them. And please, Lord, don't let me lose them. Or if we have lost them, maybe to death or whatever it might be, we sit back and realize, dear God, I never did stop to really appreciate what I had while I had them. Now he says, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. That's what I'm trying to say to you today, dear friend. This is what suffering will do for us. It will take us out of this temporal life that we're living in and give us an eternal view, and it will stop us many times, if we're wise anyway, from living the rest of our time in the flesh to the lust of men. And by the way, to the lust of men doesn't have to be some immoral type of thing, but just what we as mankind seek after, our joys and our toys and so forth, but to the will of God. What a blessing it is when we awaken to what is really real, what is really valuable, and we're willing to then give our lives, our hearts, our fortunes, whatever it might be, to the will of God and not to the lust of men. Verse 3, for the time past of our life may have sufficed to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, that's unbridled lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. He said, now just go back and examine your own life. He said, let's examine our own lives. When we lived our lives according to the will of the Gentiles, that would be, we would say today, according to an unsaved life, when we walked in lasciviousness, unbridled lust, we had no concern for God. We had no concern for others, basically. But for ourselves, we lived in lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Well, there may be some folks saying, no, I never did live like that. Well, wonderful that you lived a moral life. But whether we lived a moral or immoral life, everybody needs to be saved. But dear friend, whether we lived a moral life or immoral life, we all had a sin problem, and that sin problem was sending us to hell, and we needed salvation, and we also needed a new direction for our lives. Well, one of the greatest examples of that is Saul of Tarsus on his way. He was a moral man. He was the Pharisee of the Pharisees. Touching the law, he was considered to be blameless, and yet he was a lost man. And when he came to know Christ, I'll tell you, instead of going to Damascus to persecute the church, he went in and was introduced, as you know, to the Christians there. And then he came back and he preached the Christ which once he had tried to destroy. I'm just simply saying, dear friend, let's go back in our past lives and see where God has brought us from. I like that song, Roll Back the Curtain of Memory Now and Then, and show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Oh, but by the grace of God, I'd be dead and in hell today, or living an unsaved life, either in debauchery or in religion, as far as that's concerned, but without the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for his wonderful salvation, for the transformation that he gives to us when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. Thank God. Oh, may God give us grace to stand for him and realize judgment will begin at the house of God. And may we be faithful to him. And may our Lord be able to say about us, as he commended the brethren at Philadelphia, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. May that be our testimony in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join us next broadcast if you can.